We are told in the scripture to honor our mothers and our fathers, and we do so because this point of honor is a commandment. Yes. It began when God spoke to Moses and told him in Exodus 20 that there are some commandments I want you to regard. And one of them, the first one of them that did not relate to him directly, was a place of honor for mother and father. So let me stop to say, I've come on assignment to do two things in particular. I've come to celebrate and I've come to charge. Amen. And in the celebration, we'll get there in a moment, but let me begin with the charge. We have a responsibility, according to the word of God, to honor our mamas. Mothers should not be honored on the merit of performance or dutifulness, but just because they are the birthers and the ones that brought us to life in this world. I say that because I'm living in a generation of young people who feel they are most entitled. And when you tell them what is right and wrong, usually the first thing they say is, I don't agree because they don't deserve. Well, honor is not a matter of deserving. It's a matter of commandment. So whether mama gave you what you wanted or thought you should have or not, the commandment is to honor. Whether mama did for you what others' mothers did for their children, honor is a commandment. So let's lay the groundwork. We are commanded to honor. So I challenge you today, as we leave this place, if your mother is alive, find a way to give her reverence and respect and honor while you still have mama here. And when you do that, that is a commandment with promise. About to get happy in my soul.
Amen.
There are some prayers that have been blocked because you did not do what the book said.
Wow.
We're saying, Lord, forgive me for this sin and that one, but sometimes the sin starts right here. What have you done at home to honor mama? There are some blessings that held up your future designation that's attached to your destiny. When you do not honor mother, the Bible says you will not live a long life that's a good life. And some struggles and challenges you may be facing today can be directly tied to the place of honor that you give your mother. I just thought I'd lay that for foundation. Proverbs 31. We find a tremendous celebration of women. As Solomon records in Proverbs 31, verse number 1, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance of which his mother taught him. Lemuel is perhaps a pet name for Solomon, Bible scholars have said. You know, my mother named me Liza. My middle name is Renita. But when she wants to call me an endeared name, she doesn't call me Liza, doesn't call me Renita, I'm baby. So an endeared term for Solomon is perhaps Lemuel, from his mother and father. He starts off by noting in Proverbs 1, 31 and 1, that his mother taught him these things. So he recites some of the instructions that mama gave him. And if I may, it's nothing like the advice mama gives. You know the things that mama said.
Yeah.
Like, don't do what everybody else do.
That's right.
Because you're not in their house. But in this house, we do this.
Yes.
You know those things that mama said, like, so if everybody else jumps off the bridge, will you jump too? Think for yourself. Those things that mothers taught us, like, every day get up and put on fresh, clean underwear because you don't know whether or not you'll be in an accident. The things that mother taught us are important. The mama said in our lives should really be cherished. And here Solomon is at a ripe age in his life, and he is reflecting on the things that mama said. For example, in those few verses 1-9, he says, my mother taught me things about character and vocation and destiny as a king. She taught me, number one, to leave silly women alone. She told me, don't go messing around with alcohol. It will make me lose control. She taught me to remember the poor and those less fortunate. And although I am a king in authority, I am called to be a voice for those who are voiceless and to bring justice to the cause of those who cannot fight for themselves. Solomon remembers what his mother said, And then in verse 10 through 31, he kind of switches the text from recalling all that mother said, and he began to praise his mother and others like her, women of amazing quality and excellent character and just virtuous standards of living. And so we are asked in verse number 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. He minimizes other women as he compares them to a virtuous woman, and he makes a profound statement that her price or her value is far above rubies. Before we look at that in extent, I want you to understand verses 10 through 31 in the Hebrew writing becomes an acrostic poem. It covers every letter in the Hebrew alphabet from verses 10 through 31. In other words, he gives us the A, B, C, X, Y, Z of what it means to be an excellent woman. In every sense of womanhood, from wife to motherhood, from entrepreneur and business owner to one that does what's necessary to keep the family going. So in these verses, we have an A through Z look at the glimpse of a woman who is worthy of honor. He says her price is far above rubies. Now that piqued my curiosity, because most of us would settle with the statement of marketing that a diamond represents high quality and great value. As a matter of fact, the commercial says a diamond is a girl's best friend. So why doesn't he say her price is far above diamonds or far above gold? Why rubies in particular? I did a little research, and this is what I found. That a ruby is a distinguished bright red color gem. It's famed, number one, for its color. It's most desirable for its hardness, durability, luster, and rarity. Rubies are transparent, and they are larger in size, usually, than diamonds. As a matter of fact, the largest flawless ruby that we have found in the Smithsonian Institute is worth more than a diamond. Rubies are so wonderful and rare because they are made of a special element called corundum. And corundum, although it's found in the earth, in the high mountains of the Himalayas, it does not mix with iron and oxides and atoms like most other gems do. See, a ruby is in the same family as a sapphire, except sapphire has glints of colors that a ruby does not. So even where all the elements come together to form the ingredients that would normally make a ruby, they're not found everywhere. Geologists have said that rubies are sparse and they're found every now and then. Sapphires are more frequent to find, and diamonds are more common to find. But a ruby that is very expensive is rare indeed, because all of the elements needed to make it very seldom come together at the right time with the right pressure and force to form and create this wonderful mystery. This set of circumstances, gemologists have said, are confusing to most people that dig in the earth and find rare jewels. They still cannot tell you, I love it, how a ruby is formed. This is the one gem that they come away with saying, it's a mystery to me. The Bible says that a woman who is of this kind of excellent character, she had in her value, her assessment of worth is far greater than a ruby, which we today still value as one of the greatest gems in the earth. Housed, you have to, number one, locate the mountain to get it. Number two, dig deep enough to find it. And number three, come across after looking through many other marvels in gemology. You have to keep digging, keep searching, keep looking until somehow or another you come across it. This woman, the Bible says, is far above rubies in her cost. Think about it. Her value exceeds the value of a priceless gem. How much would you pay for the one who protects us, guards us, instructs us, nurtures us, and clothes us, feeds us, cries over us, fights battles for us, and loyal to us. What's the price tag you would put on saying thanks to your mother? I did some more research, and according to Human Resource, pull out the paperwork. No, I did my research for real. According to Human Resources, what is the value of a working mother in 2017? Traditional working mothers, mothers indeed, moms who do not work outside the home, housekeepers, cooks, care centers, daycare centers for children, senior care centers for those who are in the home, facility managers, computer operators, mothers are psychologists and janitors and van drivers, they're laundry machine operators, they're the chief executive officers of the household, not to mention chief cook and bottle washer. Mothers are event planners, bookkeepers, groundkeepers, interior designers, logistic analysis. Mothers are nutritionists, plumbers, they're staff nurses on 24-hour call.
Yes.
Mother's job is including education, vocational instructors, mothers who are judge and magistrates, resolving conflicts between siblings, mothers who are academic advisors and tutors, mothers who are executive housekeepers, mothers who are taxicab drivers, mothers who are indeed those who maintain the lifestyle in the home. According to Human Resources, their base value for a 40-hour work week is $90,223 annually. That does not include overtime pay, which during the course of a week, 40-hour work week, must include at least 19 hours overtime, which would bring you an additional $37,538. How can we ever repay mothers for the work that they do? But in the scripture, this is what I find remarkable. That same Proverbs 31, this is what Solomon says in verse number 19. Well, let's start at verse number 22 for the sake of time. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Please remember that verse. She shall rejoice. Amen. In time to come. Verse number 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the way of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Verse number 28 is key. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you, mother, you wonderful mom, excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Verse number 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. How do we pay mothers? We cannot pay them the wage they are worth. If we did, most of us would be bankrupt before the first week of saying thank you and pay is over. But the scripture says that the way we repay mothers is with praise.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I read.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read that verse number 28? Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband praises her. The verse says in 30 that the Lord honors her and she shall be praised. And verse number 31, her own works will praise her in the gates. I know it may seem like it's a cheap payment, but the celebration of mothers, the best way that we can let them know we appreciate what they do is to say thank you.
Uh-huh.
I've come today to celebrate each one of you mothers and to say thank you.
Uh-huh.
Who are we thanking in particular? We're thanking women like Eve. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, Eve is called the mother of all living, and she is the first mother known to us in the earth. But we thank mothers like Eve specifically, because mothers like Eve those who are first-time birthers put their lives on the line to produce life. Can I talk to you? I want to say thank you, and I hope that you will join me. The challenge is to appreciate women who understand that when you are a birthing woman, you put your life on the line to produce the promise. When you are a woman like Eve, a mother indeed, you will give up your life to produce what is housed in you.
Wow.
That the value of your own life is not greater than what you produce. So we came to say thank you, mothers, for being the ones that will birth the promise, even if it costs your life. Mothers like Eve have a challenge. Eve had three boys and many daughters, the Bible says. But more particular about Eve's three sons, her first two, you know them, Cain and Abel. Her first two had a conflict, and one brother rose up and murdered the other. We come to say thank you, mothers, for doing the best you could in raising children that perhaps disappointed you and did not turn out quite like you expected them to, but you didn't stop birthing. We come to recognize that women are the housers of life. And the best incubator of life that the Father could create was not, pardon me, brothers, a man. Thank God for the seed. But the one that God would give to house the promise, to be his womb of delivery, or access of deliverance, is a woman. To such a degree that when God himself pictures life in the earth realm, he says, I'm married to my woman. His woman is the church. And he says about the church's woman, I know you've been disappointed. I know you've been frustrated. I know you've been anxious because what you produced have not always been what you like it to be. But he said to his woman, do not stop travailing. He said to his woman Zion, when you travail after you conceive the word of my promise in your womb, in your spirit, then you must travail until you bring forth. So I've come to challenge women who are not just natural mothers in the earth realm, but those who are mothers in the body, those who are the wife, the bride of Christ. I've come to challenge you to keep on birthing and keep on producing, even though life fills you with disappointment and what you expect does not always be realized when you've done what you ought to do to produce it and it doesn't look like what the promise said it would be. Don't you stop bearing, don't you stop producing, because you are housing the promise. Just keep on having those babies. So the Bible says to Zion, keep on travailing, because when you travail you will bring forth, and there can be no birthing without sorrow. Because the promise was to Eve after she failed, that with sorrow you will conceive. And sometimes when we are in the throes of our pain, it is easier to give up and say, I won't birth again. I won't produce again. I won't release again. But I've come to challenge every woman, in particular those in the body of Christ, that what you are carrying is so vital, you cannot afford to let it die in you. There is a rebuke to the church that Jeremiah gives. He says, aha, aha, in the book of Kings, it is time for women to birth, but they do not have enough strength to push out. So I've come to tell women who are pregnant with promise, don't you let a miscarriage happen on your watch, that God will give you the strength to birth again if you do what is necessary. And what is that? The acronym says push. Pray until something happens. You have been given a mandate by God to be a birther. And even though it's painful, even though it's frustrating, even though it's sorrowful, I come to encourage you, mother, woman, daughter of God, keep on pushing until something happens. Because you're the one the Lord has anointed to be a birther. Even though, like Mother Eve, you have disappointment in what you produce sometimes. There'll be frustration when it doesn't produce and act like it should because it came from you. If you're like my mother, every now and then she would ask us growing up, where did you come from? So every time what you produce will not look just like you or act just like you want it to. But what Eve did was she kept on producing. She didn't stop having the babies. So one son is murdered. She loses one, but she has another. One son is marked for the rest of his life and put out, but she keeps on birthing until she has Seth, which becomes the father for the generation that would produce the deliverer. If you will, just smile at a sister beside you, say, thank God for mothers.
Thank God for mothers.
And keep on birthing. Let me celebrate women from another context as well. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 2, we find that Israel is in a conundrum. They are brought under slavery. It is not any fault of their own. Simply, Joseph is dead. And the Pharaoh, the ruling authority that knew Joseph and his clan, is now passed. So there arises a Pharaoh that doesn't know the history of this people. And now they're enslaved. But when the people cry out to God for deliverance from slavery, God has a bright idea. I'm so glad God has a solution. Dialoguing with Pastor Kate on yesterday, I asked him one of the questions that I generally ask leading women. What would you say is necessary for the church to remain relevant in our day and time? And her answer was just wonderful. I've asked many this question before, but I've not heard this response. She said, what we must do, first of all, is pray. We must cry out to God to find out what he wants us to do about it. Amen. I said, what you say? Well, here Israel cried out to God. They didn't rise up a coup against an enemy. They didn't raise rebel protest against an adversary. But they cried out to God. And it wasn't 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. For the years that they were in slavery, they just kept crying out to God. And somehow the ears of God was opened and the time became right for his God idea to manifest deliverance. So what he did was he laid it on the heart of a woman named Jochebed, who was married to a Levite, which is the lineage of the priesthood. And in a time when it was not politically correct to have children, because the magistrate was ordering all male children of the women of Hebrew to be killed and massacred. Can we talk a moment?
Yeah.
It was a day that abortion was being applauded. That taking life was being celebrated. But this woman, Jochebed, whose name means God is my glory, she made a decision. If I can conceive it and produce it, then I can protect it till it comes of age. And so even though it was not society's way, and even though it was not the political correct way, she decided, since I'm pregnant, I'm having this baby.
There you go.
I'm going to calm myself down because I'm already there. I've come to celebrate women who will not let others tell you, don't have the baby. I've come to celebrate women who make a decision that if I came to bear it, I will birth it and take care of it. That will not easily discard what has come through your life because it's an inconvenience and it's not easy to do. It was not easy for Jochebed to have this baby, but oh, because God's got a God idea. Whatever he has an idea for deliverance to do, he will make sure that what you need to produce it and care for it is in your disposal. So when Jochebed is ready to deliver this seed, there are two women of a different nation, a different nationality, a different reformation. Can we keep it real? They weren't women of her family line. They weren't women that she was familiar with. But two women, those Egyptian women, Shipra and Pua, were midwives. And God had on purpose put them right there on schedule, organized it, made it so that when this woman was now ready to give birth, that these two women would be in place so what she had would not die. Sometimes it seems like circumstances are beyond your control and my control. But when you are carrying promise, when you are a birthing mother like Eve, when you will do what is right because you have a conviction that if it is in you, it has a right to live and survive, then God will arrange the right people at the right time to come alongside and help you do what you got to do. How many of you as mothers can testify, I wouldn't have been able to do what I did if God didn't send me some help? Thank God for help. Thank God for help. When we could have made an excuse to say, I'm too afraid, I won't take the risk, but God sent somebody. It may have been a neighbor, it may have been another family member, it may have been, in this case, strangers, total strangers. But when you make a decision, woman, that you will be a birthing woman, God will send you help.
Yes, He will.
He wouldn't let Moses be destroyed because Moses becomes the answer. So I need to tell mothers that even though it may be difficult and challenging, what you are producing is answer to somebody's prayer. What you're carrying, not just life, to impact your life, because you are a mother, you have the ability to bring forth that which will change nations, that which will set in order what is chaotic and confused. You have the ability to produce that which will make a difference, not only in your life, in your generation, but lives to come. Thank God for mothers.
Amen.
Mothers like Jochebed that said, I'll take a chance and produce what God has given me, even though it's risky business. So she has Moses. And the two midwives make sure that the child is safe. They don't kill him at birth. And then she raises him as best she can, but because he's growing older, she can't keep him in the house because they're coming out on a regular basis checking to see, is there a male child present? Is there a male child present? If there's a male child present, the order has been to kill every male child. Just side note that there still is an edict in our land that wants to wipe out the male seed, that wants to annihilate men folk. And it takes wise mothers that understand, when I see my son, there is something good enough in him that comes from God. He is worth preserving his life. Oh, God help me, God help me. And I say so with a greater burden, because it is our sons that are the number one occupancies of prison houses. It is our sons that are the number one participants in gang violence. It is our sons that's the number one, oh God help me, and I hope you still love me after I say what I need to say. But it's our sons that are the number one who are vacating family responsibilities and allowing women to raise them again and support them instead of them supporting women and raising their children. But when a good mother will be able, like Jochebed did, to look at the seed she produces, a male child, and makes a declaration over his life that I see something good in him, I won't let it be destroyed. I see something worthy in him, I will build and ought to protect my seed. A mother can birth a son, but you cannot make a son a man.
That's right.
It takes God to make him what he ought to be. But you have a responsibility to build an ark for him. And so when Jochebed says, I can no longer house him because he will be spied out and they will destroy him if they find him, she says, I need to do something to protect him. Read the book, Exodus 2, 1 through 4. It's in the book. So what happens? She gets a God idea. Since what she cares is a God idea, he gives her inspiration. He tells her what to do. She goes and she gets some reeds and she takes some wood together. It's the same wood that talks about the New Testament, how we recognize Christ being saved and him being the one to deliver us. It's the same wood. Say wood.
Wood.
That's important. Wood. We're talking about the cross. Same wood. It's the same wood that we see later on when Israel's in the wilderness and they have bitter waters and they want them to make sweet. So they put in wood. Right. True. It's the same wood. So here we find she takes wood and she constructs what the Bible calls an ark of safety. And she pitches it with tar. She makes it so it's waterproof, so that her baby can be put in it and cast him down the Nile River, and gives his sister an assignment, walk him through to safety. Now here is a point of wisdom. Number one, mothers, do all you can to secure your children while they're in your house, in your care, under your authority. You got to make an ark of safety for them. You got to give them boundaries. You got to give them safe instructions. You got to give them wisdom that will keep them from sinking in the sea of life. And so she makes sure he has what is necessary to keep him afloat.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says she goes and gets the pitch. Can we talk? She doesn't sit in the school for them to make a secure place for him. She doesn't leave him in front of the TV for the TV to watch her seed. She doesn't entrust the care of making a safe environment for her son to someone else or something else. She does the labor. So here is a challenge and a charge. As mothers, we cannot give over our sons and our daughters to be cared for and nurtured by that does not keep them safe and secure.
Amen.
It's our responsibility. She gets the pitch with her own hands. She constructs the ark with her own hands. She builds a safe place for him. And then when she's done all she can, she knows what to do next. Put him in the hands of Miriam, his sister. As good as mothers are, there are some things mothers cannot do. So thank God for those who are the birthing women, but oh, thank God for those who are sisters.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Any sisters in the house?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You cannot celebrate motherhood without understanding the importance of sisterhood.
Yeah.
Because a good sister would do what mamas cannot. Where mama's care ends, a good sister will begin. What Miriam does for Moses is what Jochebed could not do. Miriam walks in the river with her brother. She goes to deep places and gets wet. She puts her life on the line to make sure her brother is okay. Thank God for good sisters. Good sisters will say, there is no extent to which I will not go for you, because I'm your sister. And she sees him to safety, and when she makes sure he's in good hands, then she goes back to her mom. And it's just a little while, Miriam is called on again to make sure that Moses is nurtured by his mother. The point I make here is Jochebed spares the life of her son because she sees he's worth having. She sees he's worth keeping. And when she's done all she can do, she puts him in the hands of someone that's trustworthy to see him to safety. Thank God for mothers like you who are Jochebed mothers who would take the risk and not let society tell you what you can and cannot do about what you produce. That would raise them at home in a safe environment. And when you must release them and let them go, you release them in good hands. You know the story of Moses. He becomes the great deliverer of all of Israel. He's a God idea whose time has come. But he came through a woman who declared, God is my glory. One more and then I'm done. We come to celebrate women like Mary. If I had time, I would talk to you about women like Hannah, but I won't take it. If I had time, I would talk to you about New Testament women like Eunice and Lois, good praying grandmamas and mothers that make you go to church and keep you in church, whether you want to be there or not. But I don't have time, so just let me conclude by telling you about this mother found in John 19, 16 through 25. This is Mary. She is here at the foot of the cross, and she is here with her sister Mary, and Mary, or Salome, and Mary found as this amazing, I looked at it and it was like, it's four different Marys. Mary, Jesus' mama, his Aunt Mary, Mary, Salome, and then Mary of Magdala, the woman that Jesus cast out the seven devils from. And so you got all these Marys at the foot of the cross, but there's only one Mary that's his mother. And if I may detour just slightly, while Jesus is on the cross, he is dying for our sins. He is doing the greatest work of redemption. He is between life and death, but he stops dying on that cross. to give a commandment to one that's been faithful to him, John, the beloved disciple. He stops dying. He's unrescued, a sinner on his left saying, remember me when you get to paradise, but he stops dying. He knows his work is important because it will impact all of eternity, but he stops dying. Ask me why. He stopped dying to take care of mama. So while he's on that cross, he looks down, he sees his mother, Mother Mary, who has been loyal to him, who, when she started with him, the Bible tells us that she conceived him of the Holy Ghost. When she was young, engaged, Joseph, you know, when you're young, about to get married, the best thing before the wedding is the engagement part. It's the celebration. It's the hoopla that surrounds it. So unfortunately for us, most people put more investment in the wedding engagement celebration than in the marriage that follows after. So here is Mary at a wonderful time of her life. She's a young girl, engaged to be married to someone who is secure, financially secure. He's an older man, had his own carpentry business. She's excited. And with all this excitement, the angel Gabriel shows up and makes an announcement. Hail Mary! Highly favored of the Lord! And I can imagine in my mind, if I got an angelic announcement saying I was highly favored of God, I'd be running around going, woohoo, I'm favored. But what comes next is amazing. You are highly favored and you're going to carry the Messiah and your life will be turned upside down. And a sword will pierce your own heart. Because of what's to come concerning him. When we think of being highly favored, we don't think of being the object of persecution. But that's what followed. Yeah. We don't think of being the object of rumor, but that's what followed. We don't think of people putting us aside and being rejected, but that's what followed. Her favor got her in trouble. But this is Mary that said, I endure everything I had to because this is my baby. And she sees him beaten, and she doesn't leave him. You know those men that he trained? His company? Can we talk for a minute? His ministry fellows, the church folk.
Yeah.
They left him all except for John.
Yeah.
The one that said, we're going to be with you, but pastor, we ain't going to never. But at the end, when there was nobody else, here was mother. Mary, loyal. Nobody like a mother knows how to stick with her child. He can be in jail and out, and she's going to stick with him. He can be in trouble and out, but she's going to stick with him. Daddy can say, leave that old knucklehead alone. Let them live their own life and live heartless. But mama will go, but that's my baby. That's my baby. Because the nurturing, loyal commitment of a mother's love says, I will go with you to the grave. That's the love of a mother. So here is Mary at the foot of Jesus, heartbroken, torn up inside, and Jesus stops dying because you cannot overlook a mother's love. He is at the most important hour of his destiny. He came to do this. Through 42 generations, he came for this purpose. He came to die, but he stops dying. To take care of mother. So he looks down, he sees his mother, and he says, John, behold your mother. Mom, behold your son. And the Bible says from that day forward, John took her home and made him his own mother. I find that amazing because sometimes we're so busy doing the work of ministry. Sometimes we're so preoccupied being important, carrying out our destiny, our assignments, that we forget to remember mama. But here is Jesus, our greatest example, teaching us one of the greatest lessons of life of honoring our mother, is that down to the end, there's some business we must handle that will take care of mama. The word honor is not the same as respect, and I'm closing. The word honor carries with it a cost factor. You cannot honor without it costing you something. Respect does not cost you anything. Honor does. Old Testament, book of Malachi chapter 1, God, our Father, says, why do you call me Father and do not honor me? And honor there, that word is the same word that's attached to our word today that we call honorarium. Mm-hmm. It means to bring with it a sacrifice. Jesus taught that in his day, many times the Pharisees, trying to appear more righteous than others, would withhold what was necessary to bless their parents, to say, I'm giving it to the temple. And Jesus says, listen, I don't want you to do this. If you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. And if you say to the offering that I'm requiring of you to give to take care of your mother, raka, you're in danger of the judgment. And what that raka was, it was what they used to say. Instead of having set aside something to take care of mom and dad, they lied and said, I can't give it to take care of my parents. I can't honor them because I've got to give it to the church. Do you follow me? Jesus said, that's wrong. He said, that's wrong. Don't claim to be doing something good when you cannot do what is right. Wow. It's right to take care of mama. He honored his mother to the point of his death. And so should we. What is a mother's wage? Is to say thank you and to praise. And so today we've come to say to mothers, thank you for being mothers. Thank you for all that you paid to be who God has called you to be. And in the mind of God, when he needed what he needed in the earth, when he could not reduplicate himself to be God in the earth except for through Christ incarnate, in the mind of God, what he did, when he made Adam, he decided to make Eve. And the Bible says Eve would be a helpmeet, a helper. That word helpmeet, Old Testament, Hebrew, is the same word New Testament, John chapter 14. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send a helper. Wow, what am I saying? That in God's mind, the best thing he can release next to the Holy Ghost is a mother, is a woman that will be in the earth what I need her to be to take care of what I leave. Thank God for mothers. We are called to honor mothers. There's a price to pay in honor. It's going to cost you something if you're going to do it the right way. So even though we say thank you, and thank you may seem to be a little cheap, thank you comes with honor. Will all mothers stand right now? The scripture has declared, Proverbs 31, that you will be clothed in dignity and honor. And it says that there is a time coming that you would rejoice. I want to tell you, your time has come. I prophesy to you this morning that your time has come to rejoice. That for all you've endured, and with all the sacrifices you've made, you are today clothed by God in dignity and honor. Now we understand that as believers, we've been told to put on the garment of praise, to take off the garment of heaviness. That's what we've been told to do. We've been told to put on the armor of light. We've been told to dress ourselves in the full warfare armor. You know, the helmet, down to our feet covered. That's all good. That's what we put on. But today, the Father puts on you dignity and honor. Raise your hands. Father, for every mother that's present in this room, we celebrate. We thank you for doing what you promised you would do. Drape these women, clothe, envelop, and wrap these women in the garments of dignity and honor. Thank you that you will send expressly in their lives those who would appreciate and celebrate, recognize and praise them for their work's sake. Thank you that the lives of these women are not lived in vain. And those who have charge laid upon them, as your word has given us this morning, to indeed be mothers, not just bearers of children, not just human incubators, but to take up responsibility and the charge, as Eve did, to keep on having the babies, to be in the sense of mothers, past our disappointments, past our frustrations, and to keep on doing what we've been made to do. To be as Jochebed was, a carrier of promise, and to take a risk to raise our children, to make the right investment in their lives, and even if they're older and not in our household, but to still cover them before you, to make sure that we did what we were supposed to and are doing to make right foundations in their lives. God, every woman's hand who's raised here, give a wisdom strategy for children today, that those that you put in our charge and our care will not become victimized by life or the system. Now we thank you, Lord, for blessing every hand that is raised to be remembered. Even Jesus, you remembered Mary. Help those who have a responsibility in the lives of these mothers to remember our mothers and to honor them well. We pray the blessing of the Lord over each hand raised, the kind of blessing that takes rejoicing to a new level. For I decree and declare, for every hand raised, for every mother, your time of rejoicing has come now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.